You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And, of course, welcome to everybody listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as well. We're fired up for some football. And I'm not just saying that. I actually am really fired up. You know, I seem to be a very animated and outspoken person when I'm on television. But in real life, I'm very similar to Krusty the Clown. I'm very quiet. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I'm extremely depressed. But I woke up today thinking to myself, you know what? We've got some football on tap tonight. And we got some football that I think we can cash and beat the book with. I'm more fired up for the college game. As you can tell, I'm wearing a Clemson Tiger t-shirt. For those of you, listening on iTunes right now, wearing a Clemson t-shirt. But I'm picking Georgia Tech. Why? Because I'm crazy. That's why. Teddy Carver's going to join us. Teddy Carver's going to join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk some football with Teddy. Warren Sharp, sharpfootballanalysis.com. So Warren Sharp. And Warren's got all kinds of cool stuff going on. It's hard to keep up with him. He's writing for ESPN. He's writing for this website. Now he's doing Periscopes right before football games, giving you some last-minute insight, which is pretty cool. Warren Sharp's going to join us, one of the sharpest guys in the business. Tony Cincata. He's not sharp. He's round. Tony Cincata. The Tony Cincata is going to join us. He's going to talk some DFS with Tony Cincata. And, you know, you got the Patriots and the Texans on tap tonight. Got a lower total. Houston Texans haven't given up a touchdown in like six quarters right now. But you ever notice every time there's one of these games, we're like, oh, man, it's a horrible fantasy game. It's a bad DraftKings game. It's a low-scoring game tonight. Every time we say that, somebody always scores. You know, remember last Thursday, nobody thought it was going to be a track meet between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. It was a fantasy palooza. Monday night, kind of an ugly, icky game, so to speak. Well, Ryan Matthew owners are pretty happy after what happened on Monday night. Carson Wentz backers. And, you know, no one really ever talks about Carson Wentz from a DFS standpoint. So what about Jacoby Brissett tonight? $5,000. We break it down with the Tony Cincata. So we've got the Clemson Tigers and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets on tap tonight, kicking off week four of the college football campaign. And Clemson's in the mix for the national championship. Of course, played in a national championship game last year. Although Clemson's feeling a little bit neglected right now. Deshaun Watson came into the year. He was kind of the Heisman front runner. He's been surpassed by Lamar Jackson. Now, Clemson and Louisville, of course, are on a collision course as they're going to be throwing it down next week. But the Clemson Tigers are going into a nest tonight, and I think they're going to get stung. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Clemson can dodge this bullet in Atlanta, you know, on a field and in a stadium that they haven't won since 2003 in. All right? I'm not very good at math, but that's what, 13 years? Yeah, it's been a hell of a long time since Clemson have gone into Georgia Tech and beaten them. And in fact, they've lost the last five games. They play every couple of years on the field, etc. Now, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, a dangerous football team, but not in the national championship picture. You know, we're into week four right now. We talked earlier in the week about who the best college football team is. We said Alabama, Ohio State. They're clearly ahead above everybody else right now, in my opinion. But we got the Michigan Wolverines who are lurking. My Michigan Wolverines who are lurking. They open up Big Ten play against Penn State, 19-point favorites. We got Florida and Tennessee. Now, the Tennessee Volunteers, I thought, were a little bit overhyped coming into the year, and they've kind of been up and down, but they look pretty good against Vautech in the second half. We're going to learn what the Tennessee Volunteers are all about against the Florida Gators. Oh, yeah, they haven't beaten the Gators in 12 years. They've lost 11 straight times to the Florida Gators. So, listen, Tennessee and Michigan, yeah, they might not be front runners for the national championship, but at least they're in the conversation. You know who's not in the conversation anymore? The Oregon Ducks. You know, the Oregon Ducks, once the trendy it kids, the coolest kids on campus, in every campus, so to speak. Everybody wanted to go there. Everybody wanted to play like them. Everybody wanted to look like them. Chip Kelly bolts for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mark Helfrich, offensive coordinator, takes over. And the slow decline continues sort of with like a trickle-down effect, like water torture, drip, drip, drip. You look at the Oregon Ducks, no longer playing for national championships, no longer getting five-star quarterbacks. I, for the life of me, I don't understand how a Pac-12 power has to go the JUCO route a couple of times in a row to get your quarterback. I like Vernon Adams. Vernon Adams is a great college player, but you guys can't recruit your own quarterback? Then you go, you got a 5-6 quarterback from Montana State. Now listen, Dakota Prukop has actually played pretty well, but that's besides the point. I want to know how come you guys can't get a quarterback. I also want to know why Mark Helfrich goes for two, five bloody times. Five times. You guys scored five touchdowns. You went for 2 points five times. How many times did you get it? Once. How many points did you lose the game to against Nebraska? Three. Once again, I'm not a mathematician, but I am aware that Mark Helfrich has gone for two 28 times since he's been head coach of the Oregon Ducks. You know how many times they've been successful? 10. So it's not like he goes for two every time they score. He just decided to do this on the road in a huge game that could have put your program back on track. But don't worry, Oregon fans. Everything's fine. You want to know why? Because you're dressing up like Ducks this week. Oh, that's just freaking great. You're dressing up like Ducks, you know, to honor the mascot. Honor the mascot. Like, stop worrying about how you look and start worrying about how you play. You got Mark Helfrich taking over here. This program's going down fast. He's going to have to leave. You're going to have to get a real new powerful coach. It's a great gig. And, you know, when I'm talking about a new powerful coach, Helfrich, you don't have to worry about Brady Hoke taking your job. Yeah, he hires Brady Hoke as his defensive coordinator. I'm a Michigan guy. Trust me, Brady Hoke ain't saving your sorry asses in the Pacific Northwest right now. But once again, don't worry. They have 313 uniform combinations, just like Greg Roman had 300 run plays. You know, you got 313 uniform combination. You have one damn play. You can score on a two-point conversion. Hey, Helfrich, stop worrying about what your kids are going to wear. Because soon enough, the only thing you're going to be worrying about wearing is what suit you're going to wear to your next job interview. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I got a little bit more fired up than I thought I was going to. You know, normally I wake up every morning, and I generally might surprise you, but I'm not really a big morning person. So fortunately, there's no one around me, though. So I wake up, I'm generally angry, and I look at the websites, and I'm like, this story pisses me off, that pisses me off. What's this? Miss America, you know, eating apple pie, this pisses me off. You know, everything upsets me. But then about like half an hour after I wake up, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't really upset me anymore. Like, so today was one of these days where the only thing that happened right before we started the show was Colin Kaepernick was just voted the most hated player in the National Football League by other NFL players. I'm assuming they polled white guys only for this poll. Every time I talk about Kaepernick, I get death threats and people are freaking out and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about Kaepernick tomorrow instead of today because I didn't have time to put it together. But I was still upset about this duck stuff. And I see the Ducks are dressing up like real ducks this weekend. That's good for you guys. That's just great. Like, you know, how about you start winning some freaking football games? How about you get a defensive coordinator whose name's not Brady Hoke? You got a DC. Guy doesn't even wear a headset. You know, you guys, the Ducks, you guys are drowning, all right? You guys are drowning. You got to get rid of Helfrich. Otherwise, your next thing you know, you're going to be Oregon State. But let's bring in Ted Safransky right now and run the gauntlet, talk about a lot of stuff. Teddy, people right now in Eugene, they were pretty distraught that he went for two five times. I didn't mind at first when he got the first one. I'm like, love it, because I was on the Ducks. So I love the 8 as opposed to the 7. But I don't get it, Teddy, if you don't do it all the time. It's like a method of betting where, oh, I always take the road dog, but I didn't do it, and then I do it, and then I don't do it. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand. If you're going to go for two every damn time. But, he doesn't do that, and he decides to go for it five times on the road.
Well, first of all, he did go for two every time in that game. All right. Now, I just did a little bit of work. 42% is the average. That's the last number that I saw. 42% of two-point conversions get converted in college.
All right.
Around the average. So Helfrich and the Ducks are 10 of 28 during his era. So if they were 12 of 28, if they converted two out of the 28 more, they'd be right on par with everybody. Okay. But you and I both, Gabriel Morenci. You and I both rip coaches when they're too conservative, when they don't make they take chances, when they play not to lose. We rip them, and we should rip them. So we cannot then, when a coach is aggressive and doesn't take the conservative strategy and doesn't just play in a style that, oh, well, that's the way we've always done it. When a coach doesn't do that and then loses because of it, we can't blame them. We can't have both sides of this argument working in our favor. Either you rip coaches for being too aggressive or you rip them for being too conservative. You can't do both. I thought Helfrich did the right thing last week, and I think more coaches should go for two on more touchdowns. Yes, they should do it every single time. And the fact that he did last week and it didn't work and now he's taking heat because of it, in my mind. And the other thing you say, Brady Hoke, I honestly thought Oregon's defense played pretty good last week.
They're all right. You're right.
It's not a big defense. It's a fast defense. I thought they acquitted themselves well at Nebraska.
I'm lucky I got the push out of that thing, Teddy, because it was bouncing around that number, man. I hit it on a teaser.
It didn't cost you any money.
No, I did, because I did. I had the over, too. And if they would have kicked the damn field goal at the end, they would have equalized it. It was just, Teddy, it was just one of those games. You know, like we watch all the games, but there's sometimes you just get sucked in, like each play. Like I was in for the ride in that one. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I was in for the ride, and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, we outplayed them, man. Like, we outplayed them. Like, how do I not win this bet,
Yeah, but you didn't lose it.
Yeah.
It didn't cost
you. Oh, I lost it, Teddy. I didn't lose the money, but I lost it, trust me. All right, so tonight, one of our cameramen here, guy loves Clemson. He got me a Clemson T-shirt so much, so I figured I'd show him some respect back. I wore a Clemson T-shirt. He's all happy. He goes, oh, you're wearing a Clemson T-shirt today. Big game. I'm like, yeah, I like Georgia Tech on the money line. So Clemson and Georgia Tech tonight. It's 9.5. I got a book, actually, that I posted at 10 earlier in the morning. Teddy, what's your take?
Well, I mean, last time here, Clemson was the road chalk, and Georgia Tech came away with the win. In fact, it's the second time in matchups between Swinney and Paul Johnson that the Yellow Jackets have come away with the outright upset as home underdogs. And Johnson pulled off a pretty big upset last year against, Florida State as home dogs. He's been pretty good in this particular role. That being said, you remember the game last year, Clemson outgained by 300 yards. It wasn't close. The Georgia Tech offense didn't work against the Tigers' D. And Deshaun Watson really picked apart that secondary. And I don't know that that changes this time around. I'm not in any rush to bet against Clemson right now. And I understand there are those in the markets that look at Clemson and say this team hasn't been, lived up to expectations thus far, et cetera, et cetera. If they don't hear, I'm going to get a little bit more of a red flag on the Tigers because they haven't been covering numbers and they haven't been living up to expectations offensively. But this might be a get-healthy game for a Clemson offense prime to start clicking on all cylinders. Other than Johnson's track record at Georgia Tech, there's not a whole lot that I like about that team in this particular matchup.
There's two ways to look at Clemson right now, and I think they're being maybe more criticized than they should be, actually. I think they're people just sort of expect, you didn't win 72-0 every week. Last week they went 59-0, actually, Teddy. I didn't see anything about this on the websites, but I wasn't specifically looking for the story. But that bet wasn't official, right? They played 24 minutes in the second half. That's 54
Correct.
Minutes. 55 minutes got to be, you got to go 55 minutes.
Correct. Totals and sides were both canceled by some books. Other books chose to pay them out as a nice thing to do.
As a good faith gesture. Yeah, that's a son of a bitch. You're up 59-0 and you don't get the win.
Yeah, let me give a shout out. Jimmy Vaccaro over at the South Point. They paid out all the wagers on
this. Oh, he did, eh? He deserves it. Jimmy deserves that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, I doubt MGM did.
No, I'm sure they didn't.
You're like, no, I'm sure they did. That rude guy's going to send me a, hey, what the hell, Moretz? We paid people. I know they didn't either. So it's funny because, a guy here at the network was like, I told him, you got ripped off, man. He told me, he's like, Bodog didn't pay me. I'm like, they ripped you off. You better call them. And then I asked him, I said, did you lose, though, another game? He's like, yeah, I lost another game in a parlay. I'm like, well, of course you didn't get your money back then. So, yeah, it's the first thing that I did bounce in my head when I saw the 24-minute thing. I'm like, man, that's not an official game. All right, one thing, though, as you stated, they're getting better quarterback play, Georgia Tech, with this Thomas kid, though, throwing the ball a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but again, the one game that that stands out to me for Georgia Tech, and again, it's not something you want to put too much emphasis on because we're not talking about a game that was played, you know, that was played yesterday, but that opener against Boston College, where they just, you know, the offense didn't work,
yeah,
you know, and BC shut them down, and Georgia Tech was lucky to win that game. That. And you know, I didn't see him play the Mercer game. I didn't really see the Vanderbilt game. So that's the one vision I've had of the Georgia Tech offense this year, and it wasn't a real good vision.
No, you're right. I'm betting on history here. You know, Clemson are clearly the better football team. Quickly on this, and we'll move on. But, you know, they got Louisville coming up, and, you know, a lot of people, oh, it's a look ahead. But it also might be a tune-up as well, that they want to get things going on all cylinders. So, speaking of tune-ups, Michigan's gone through three straight tune-ups. You and I haven't had a chance to talk too much about our Michigan Wolverines, Teddy. You know, I got to tell you, when the boosters gave Franklin that money up there in Happy Valley, I don't think they gave him this big money to be 19-point road underdogs in Big Ten play. I got to tell you, man, going back 10 years, there was only one number that was ever even double digits. In 2008, Penn State laid a ton of points, and they whacked on Michigan. I was surprised to see this number a little bit, but Michigan's such a public team now.
It's amazing that you brought that game up. And I remember that game from 2008. I had a huge play on Michigan plus the points. They were leading at halftime of that contest. And then Penn State got a hold of them. And then at the very end of the game, it was like 3rd and 10. Penn State needed one first down to run out the clock. And a little dump-off screen pass ended up being a 79-yard touchdown, and that ruined my day.
Brutal.
So thanks for bringing back a great memory from 8 years ago. I appreciate it. I hadn't thought about that game in a while. That was my wife's birthday, and I had to, right after that was a big ticket. I had to go out and take her out. And, oh, honey, hi.
I hate that. Yeah.
I had steam blowing out of my ears, dude. You know, it's absolutely. That's one that stands out. There's so many bad beats over the years. That one that goes. Okay, real quick. I don't want Penn State as a road, on the road in the Franklin era. They haven't won a game. You know, they're 0-9 straight up, 1-8 against the spread on the highway. They failed as road favorites. They failed as road dogs. The only game they covered on the highway in the entire Franklin era was that game at Pitt earlier this season. And you remember that game? They were down 21-0 early. Yeah, yeah. They got a rally back late, got a backdoor TD to get it under the number. But that's what you're talking about for the entirety of the James Franklin era in terms of Penn State point spread success on the highway. They've been killed. Okay. Michigan, you know, four non-offensive touchdowns this year. And the markets tend to devalue the teams that have the points without the yardage attached to it.
Yeah.
I love the teams that can score on defense and on special teams every week. They're always undervalued in the marketplace because their yardage totals don't match up with their point totals. And Michigan's been doing that every week. Pick six here, another pick six here goes a long, long way towards the Wolverines covering that number.
Yeah, speaking of which, Jabril Peppers actually over 200 all-purpose yards last week. All right, quickly on this because I want to get some NFL talk in here. I was on Sparty last week because of the history of the series. And I tell you, you know, Connor Cook's gone, but this kid's beating Ohio State and Notre Dame on the road now. So, you know, no one's really talked about Sparty, and I hate them, Teddy. I hate them more than the Buckeyes. I really do. Like, as a lifelong Michigan fan, I dislike Michigan State more than Ohio State. It might not even upset some people when I say that, but I really do. I don't like them at all. But I was on them last week. You know, I want to do the reverse spot. I was hoping to get 7 here, but we're only getting 5 with the Badgers.
Well, let's start with this, all right? If you're a Michigan fan, you hate Ohio State more than Michigan State. You know, Michigan State, they're like your brother. You know, all right, they're, you know, big brother, little brother, which is not the case anymore.
I don't like a lot of people in my family,
you know,
Teddy.
Whereas Ohio State's like your enemy.
Yeah, I know. You know, you're right.
Like your brother, but that being said, I don't want Wisconsin here. You know, I don't like either QB option for the Badgers this week.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Bart Houston finally gets, finally. I mean, Bart Houston's no good. You know, he's a fifth-year senior. And when you're a fifth-year senior that hasn't earned the starting job behind the type of garbage that Wisconsin's been putting out at QB the last couple years, it tells you all you need to know. Bart Houston couldn't win that job, and he won it this year. He can't hold on to it. So he's no good. You know, no talent, limited talent. Then you have the Frosh, you know, Alice Hornibrook, and you know, he's got talent, But Frost QB against this defense in East Lansing and first road start in a point spread range like this, where the running game is going to have to be there. And by the way, Wisconsin doesn't have, I think they have one healthy running back right now. Clement, still very questionable this week. And it'd be Sparty or nothing for me.
Sounds like, yeah, lean with the green. All right, tonight's contest, Texans and Patriots. Interesting. Money, was it, what kind of money? Was it sharp money? Was it big early week money? Was it the line? Was it the odds makers adjusting? Because it was 2.5 and it's 1 right now, Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been bouncing around all week. And I'll tell you what. If this game lands with either team winning by 1, it's going to be a bad night for the house.
I know, you're right.
You know, because it's been, you know, we've seen the Patriots laying a point or two. We've seen the Texans laying a point or two. It's settling in as we speak with Houston back as the road chalk again. And it's a very hard game to handicap. You know, I don't trust the Texans. All right, so far this is, everyone's like, oh, the Texans are great. Look what they've done. Look what they've done is they beat a Bears team that stinks, and they beat a Chiefs team that was missing both starting guards in a game where they were able to blow up the line of scrimmage. You know, Lamar Miller, supposed to be, I mean, they've got two deep threats now in Hopkins and Fuller. And Lamar Miller, 3.6 yards per carry, long for the season, 12. You know, where's the explosiveness there? It's not there for the Texans. So I'm not sold on Houston being all that just yet. That being said, when you talk about the drop-off, you know, Garoppolo's been good. Jacoby Brissett, a guy who didn't play in a pro style of offense in college, a guy who whose offense coordinator got fired after his senior year because the offense was so bad at times with him behind center. A guy who didn't take a snap with the first stringers in preseason, in training camp. Remember, Belichick had to get two quarterbacks ready, neither of which was Jacoby Brissett. So I'm not convinced that Brissett's going to be able to do anything here. I don't know that he is, but I'm not convinced that he's going to be good enough. But, you know, can you bet against Belichick, you know, on a short week? Can you bet against a guy who's 11-1 as a home dog since, what, 2004? I can't do it personally. If fascinating game, nothing I'm going to be betting on.
It's an intangible bet. You're right. You know, you look at Pats 10-0 straight up, 9-1. It's weird. They're 9-1 against spread after playing the Dolphins. But that's kind of a weird number. 12-2 straight up last 14 weekday game. We got about 60 seconds here, Teddy. Pittsburgh Steelers laying 3.5. You know, I got to tell you, this might be the biggest game in the state of Pennsylvania since Pitt and Penn State in like 1981 or whatever it was in the old days with the Dolman and Marino days. But it's nice. These guys always play in the preseason, Teddy. It's nice to see them play a somewhat big game earlier in the year here. Pittsburgh laying 3.5 on the road. I mean, you talk about beating bad teams. You look at Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Chicago. This is their first real game. What's your take on this one in about a minute?
I can only take the Steelers. I mean, yeah, look, Philly just had their two easiest games of the season. Go through the rest of their schedule. It's tough, and then they get tougher. First, they play three consecutive games against teams coming off of bye weeks, and then they have this, like, at Green Bay, at Seattle. You know, there's a three-week stretch that's as tough as any in the NFL. So if you're an Eagles fan, enjoy this hot start. It's the best it's going to get for Philadelphia this year. I'll just put it that way.
Ted Savransky, a.k.a. Teddy Cover, sportsmemo.com. Also one of the Cover's experts. Visit the sites. Visit Teddy's page to get all the information about what he likes this weekend. Teddy, always a pleasure, Teddy.
Marancy, we'll do it again next week.
There's Ted Savransky with his great stuff with Teddy Covers. As, Teddy joins us every week, and now our bird friend joins us once again today. Why don't we just, like, cut a hole in the roof and just let them take the place over? Just have sort of birds flying around, hanging on the camera, and just sort of walking around and doing, you know, doing whatever. I'm starting to like this little guy, actually. I wonder if it's a sign I should take the Arizona Cardinals against the Buffalo Bills. Warren Sharp joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I believe that Sammy Watkins is now extremely questionable for the Buffalo Bill Arizona Cardinal football game. But what does it matter? I mean, the guy's played and done nothing the first 2 weeks anyways. All right. Thanks to Teddy Covers for joining us on the show. Let's bring in Warren Sharp, sharpfootballanalysis.com. And as I alluded to off the top of the program, Warren's got a couple of announcements. He's added a couple of new platforms to the repertoire, including a Periscope. before NFL football games. Warren, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I am doing great. How are you?
So, Warren, I saw the announcement last week. You had a couple of major announcements to make, but I think you announced that right after you appeared, type of deal. Now, I've been seeing you on Periscope, so tell everybody else what you've been up to now the season started.
Yeah, I basically wanted to give people a different way to approach the start of the week. I mean, a lot of people use the Monday Night Football game and the game, you know, the pregame shows to kind of recap what happened last week and maybe start thinking about this upcoming week. But a lot of the pregame shows, they're on for 2 hours, 3 hours at times, and they're mainly these ex-athletes just talking about things and playing over highlights. And really, by the time you get close to game time, you've heard everything you needed to hear from those. So what I decided to do is the last 30 minutes right before kickoff, so starting right at 8 Eastern, is to do a live Periscope where I'm breaking down some of the advanced analytics and metrics that you maybe didn't realize happened in the game on Sunday that you need to be aware of headed up for the coming week. And I talk a little bit about, you know, it just started, so we'll dive deeper as the season progresses. But that's a pretty fun thing that I hope people check out.
As well as you've created your own stats page as well, right?
Yeah, the Sharp Football Stats, that was a project that I started working on last year, and I just launched it here at the start of this season. It really is a way to visually look at the NFL from a statistical perspective, but avoiding all of the numbers and the black and white text columns and things like that just are so boring and data can get lost there. I tried to make it really user-friendly, overlay graphics on top of, you know, pictures of the field and things of that nature, using color coding to really help people get a better understanding of things. And then I've also incorporated a lot of the advanced metrics, you know, success rate and things like that you won't really find visualized anywhere else, just to try to make it a very easy way for people to go and do some research on the matchups and the games.
Well, I definitely will be making it part of my daily visits, as a ton of respect for your stats and your approach and how you analyze them. So let's jump in tonight, Ward. Seems like, well, we've been doing this quite a few years now together, so I guess we're going to get some weird games, but it seems like we always get weird games when you and I talk. Like, we always have, like, new quarterbacks and new this and all, and just fire the offensive coordinator. And here we go tonight. Because especially, you know, Warren, you know, you're a totals guy, except more than a totals guy, but you were known as an over-under guy. And from a total standpoint tonight, all the history tells us that this game goes over the number. But, oh, yeah, we got a Houston Texan defense that hasn't given up a touchdown in six quarters. And we have a quarterback who's thrown, you know, nine passing attempts in his NFL career.
Right, exactly. And you definitely have a situation where, you know, the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, when they typically bring in quarterbacks, they're going to try to operate a little bit slower. They're not really going to be going up tempo. We've seen it in the past against great run defenses. He'll throw it 50 times. And, you know, I definitely don't see anything like that going on in this particular game. You know, Bill Belichick is probably focused on coaching up his defense to play well so that his offense doesn't have to really do a whole lot in this game in order for them to get the win.
All right, so looking, you know, it's interesting you say that because I don't know. I mean, Belichick's such a diabolical, like, genius. He knows. He's thinking the Texans are going to think, no way in hell we're going to try to throw on their defense. What do you make of his numbers, Warren? It's tough to gauge. You come in game like that, 6-9, but the 92 yards shows me that, you know, they weren't just all dinks and dunks. What do you make of him? What, in your opinion, like, can he make plays? Because I'm not so sure that they'll just so play it so close to the vest. He might roll the dice, you know, and just sort of say, you know what, this kid's going to make plays for us.
Well, that's what they did with Garoppolo, obviously. They started him off, you know, just trying to do that. I was looking at where he was throwing the ball, Brissett, and he was throwing the ball a lot to the exterior. And the real weakness in NFL defenses nowadays is to the shallow middle of the field. And that's where they really need to operate. And if they can get, is Gronk going to play or not? Or do we
game time decision?
Yeah. So if they had Gronk, even if they don't, like, they need to work Bennett in the middle of the field. They need to let Edelman run some cross routes in the middle of the field. They need to get the guys in the middle of the field over the weakness of the Texans. You know, defense obviously with Cushing's injury, that the defensive center is a little bit more suspect. Don't attack on the perimeter quite as much, and they could have some bigger plays. In my opinion, is going to be up the middle is where the Patriots could thrive there. But there's a chance that, like we really, like you said, we don't know. He's kind of diabolical. We don't know exactly what direction he's going to take here. But one thing we do know, the reason why I think he needs to be kind of getting it out of his hands quickly, is the Houston Texans have the number one pass rush in the NFL right now. And so they're going to be able to get after quarterbacks quite efficiently and effectively, typically, at least so far this season. That doesn't bode well for a rookie quarterback who has not taken very many reps with this team because he was being groomed as number three guy from the get-go.
Warren, I remember last year you weren't overly impressed with Brock Osweiler, and I remember some of the numbers that you brought up and during one of our conversations that Brock's numbers go down as the game goes on, which is a bad thing. You want your guy to be lighting it up in the fourth quarter more so than the first quarter. What do you make of Osweiler so much so far? 41-68, three touchdowns, but the three picks. Sort of just average, mediocre quarterback play, but what's your take on this? Because they've got weapons in Fuller and Hopkins.
No, they definitely do. I mean, it's so nice to have a guy like Fuller who now will have the respect of defenses that he can take the top up, because this is going to open things up for Hopkins tremendously. I look at this game, I see Osweiler. They're going to try some different things. I mean, keep in mind, Bill O'Brien is very familiar with the New England Patriots. He's been there for quite some time, you know, coaching the quarterbacks there. So he knows a little bit about things that New England likes to do and that sort of thing. But definitely there's going to be a little bit of an edge from that perspective for O'Brien. But at the end of the day, it's hard to imagine going on the road, playing on a Thursday in New England, that you wouldn't want to try to make Lamar Miller the focus of this offense with an occasional deep shot sprinkled in to try to get the defense off of him. And so I think that this game could really trend towards a lower start, especially in the first half.
All right, Ward. So I want to get to some other games here as well. We got about 5 minutes. So quickly on this, any opinion? Maybe first half under then? Sounds like maybe you're leaning.
Yeah, if forced to do something on this game, that's probably the direction I would look. Grab a 20 and take the under first half.
All right, Redskins and Giants. You warned everybody about the Washington Redskins schedule coming into the year, and it only gets more difficult. I don't know if the Redskins have been terrible as a team, but their quarterback play has been terrible. Kirk Cousins just not giving them NFL-caliber quarterback production, and you can't win. You know, I think the guys have been open. I think the schemes have been good. And Cousins just isn't making the throws. And then last week, the terrible late interception. Now you get a New York Giant team, Warren. The Giants are interested in me. They are very dynamic with Sterling Shepard, who looks real good. Like, he's the real deal, this kid. Victor Cruz is healthy once again. But then again, same crap. You know, whether it was McAdoo or Coughlin, they get inside the five-yard line, and it's a dog and pony show. They can't score. It's, you know, let's take a timeout. It's just chaos all the time. I like the way the Giants' offense has looked, but they're not scoring enough for my money. You know, the Redskins have been really big underachievers here, but are getting points in this game. Interesting game, this game.
No, it is. It is very fascinating. You know, I focus first and foremost on the Washington Redskins, who won this division last year and started out obviously very terrible so far this year. The funny part about the Redskins, you know, the big problem for them heading into the season that I anticipated, the last year they couldn't run the ball, they can't stop the run. That's obviously a bad recipe for success. This year they're going to try to upgrade the run game and be able to run the ball a little bit better, but they didn't really seem to have the personnel. So I figured they might go to a little bit more of a pass-slanted approach, pass-heavy approach. They have not been able to stop the run that well, so that much is sort of translating over from last year. But offensively, they actually have been able to run the ball pretty effectively, especially in terms of efficiency overall. I mean, they're averaging 4.7 yards per rush. 59% of their run plays have been successful so far this year. The problem for them is Kirk Cousins is playing like crap, and they're calling way too many pass plays. In one score games, 73% of their play calls have been pass plays. That's the most of any team in the NFL. When they get down to the red zone, 77% of their plays are passed. That's the fourth most. The NFL average is 55%. So Jay Gruden just needs to do a better job. I mean, I think that they want to see what Kirk Cousins can do, but they're putting too much pressure onto his plate right now when the run game is being somewhat more efficient, or at least better than exceeding expectations. They need to try to let him hand the ball off a little bit more. Maybe that'll allow him to get into better situations. Think about this. On third down, they've attempted, I believe it is, 22 third down plays. 21 of them have been pass plays on third down. It's absolutely ridiculous for the Redskins. 95% pass, I believe it is, on third down. When you look at the Giants, you're exactly correct. they need to improve efficiency inside the red zone. They were able to move the ball somewhat well against the Saints, but 0-3 inside the red zone.
And Warren, quickly on this, yeah, I saw you tweeting about this, in which Josh Norman says, I'm going to be on Beckham all over the field except in a slot. And as you tweeted, thanks for giving the Giants the heads up there that you're not going to go into the slot at all. It's been very, very perplexing to me to see this Josh Norman situation. Any opinion on that game? And then we got about 2 minutes, and I want to wrap up with the Broncos and the Bengals. If you're playing anything in the Giants and the Skins, any opinion?
I would probably have to lean a little bit towards the Redskins, as much as I hate to do it.
Yeah.
Simply because I think this line is a little bit too high, and I think that the Washington Redskins could have a little bit of success moving the football on the Giants, but it's difficult. Why in the world do you give up your game plan days in advance of that matchup? There's absolutely nothing that's going to benefit your team by doing that.
All right, the defending Super Bowl champion, Denver Broncos. These guys have dodged a couple of bullets. They were lucky to beat Carolina in week one because of the missed field goal. They earned the win last week, although I had the Colts, and it was one of the worst beats of the year so far, Warren. Complete disaster. Now Simeon goes on the road. Denver's winning on D. I mean, they're only giving up 4.4 yards per play, which is incredible in today's National Football League. But we talked about the Dolphins having a tough schedule start. You know, the Bengals go to New York. The Bengals then go to Pittsburgh. They're having a hard time protecting Andy Dalton right now, though. But at least they're back home right now. What's your quick take on this football game?
Yeah, it's been really amazing looking at the pass rate for the Cincinnati Bengals. They cannot run the football at all. Right now they rank 30th in the NFL in success rate, only averaging 2.8 yards per carry. That's what I sort of predicted going in. As you mentioned, the schedule, it was pretty obvious for anybody paying attention to either this show when I was talking about it or just the schedule in general, that the Bengals' run game is going to start off very difficult. And so the pressure is going to fall onto Andy Dalton. I was wondering how much they're going to let him pass the football. Right now, they're passing the ball 75% of their play calls in the first half.
Wow.
When the game's within one score. That's the most in the NFL. Therefore, he's going to get hit a lot. You're going up against another very good run defense. If Dalton's ankle is causing him problems and he's not going to be able to move around in the pocket at all, then that's going to be a big-time problem. He's going to be a sitting duck because they probably are going to still have to pass to win this game. But if he can move around a little bit, I think he's going to be able to, you know, they're still going to be aggressive attacking through the air, and their pace is very quick, and I think that they can maybe produce some points in this game.
Well, if I like the Colts last week, and I said the Broncos bubble has to burst eventually, at least for a week, I almost have to take the Bengals here. I didn't like it at 3.5, excuse me, 3.5, but I don't mind it. I can live with it at 3. Warren, unfortunately, we got to get out of here, but we encourage people, check out Warren on Twitter, Sharp Football at Twitter. Check out his website, sharpfootballanalysis.com, to get the links to sharpstats.com, as well as the Periscope before the primetime games. Excellent insight as always, Warren. Thanks for the time.
Yep, you got it.
There's Warren Sharp with us. Man, the show just flies by, even though it's 60 minutes. All right, the Tony Cincata joins us next. We're going to talk some DraftKings, DFS, FanDuel, etc. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's bring in the Tony Cincata and talk some DFS fantasy football, give you some insight for tonight's contest, and maybe see if Tony likes anybody this weekend. Tony, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It looks good being here, right?
Fired up to have you. And, you know, it's funny, too. They said, yeah, well, how about we get Cincata on the show? I said, yeah, perfect. He's from Boston. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's true. So they didn't even realize the connection. Are you a lifelong Pat fan?
Yeah, I was at a Patriots fan. I'll tell you how good the Patriots were. When I was a season ticket holder, right? Me and my brother, we had 10 season tickets, right? They played the Rams in December in a game. We couldn't get anyone else to go to the game, so we put 8 tickets on the windshield. We came out, there were 12 tickets on the windshield.
Someone else and I'll put them here too, right? Then the collection. I swear to God, I know if you remember the old days, you're right. I've been around a while too. The Patriots were never a threat. The stadium was half empty. You know, there was no one was ever there. You know, before the Patriots got good, really their most famous game was when the dude out on the weekend pass, plowed the snow.
Yeah, he came out. Mark Henderson, I think, was his name. He got in the snowplow. He plowed the snow, and he kicked the field goal there. And things went after that. Robert Kraft bought the team, but we had Victor Kiam in between the Sullivans there, and that was a mess as well.
Yeah, I'm old. I remember the Sullivans. You know, growing up, actually. I was a Steve Grogan fan. I've had Steve on the program quite a few times over the years, but one of my favorite players when I was a kid was Sam Cunningham. Remember Sam Bam Cunningham?
Sam Bam
running back.
Cunningham. First guy to go over the top, right? In football, he would take the ball, go over the top from the goal line, and he perfected that. Yeah, he was absolute.
He was the first one that did that, really?
I believe so, yeah. That's his credit. We put the credit his way.
Because, yeah, you know, Walter Payton, of course, is great at it. Marcus Allen, Charles White. Remember USC Charles White was great at going over the top. Unfortunately, he went over the top and he gave him a touchdown in the Rose Bowl against Michigan. There really wasn't one, but that's besides the point. Let's jump into tonight's game. I said off the top, Tony, every time we get one of these games and everyone, there's going to be no points tonight. Houston's defense is suffocating, haven't given up a touchdown in six quarters, lead the NFL in sacks, Jacoby Brissett's going to suck. I remember last week, same thing. Total was 42 in the Bills game. They nearly scored 70 points. Odds makers were way off. Earlier in the week, Bears-Eagles. There's nothing to touch fantasy in this game. Well, whatever, man. Ryan Matthews had a couple of touchdowns. You know, every time people don't expect anything, somebody goes off and puts up big numbers, Tony.
Yeah, so tonight there's going to be a couple plays dictated by the price. First, Will Fuller, who's everybody's darling right now, right? He's going to get deep. Brock Osweiler, this guy there, he's only $4,800 on DraftKings. People are going to play him. You're going to look at it for the Patriots, New England Patriots. LeGarrette Blount is going to be a guy at $4,400 that's going to get the ball 30-plus times in this contest.
Yeah.
So you like him. I think of it this way, though. I think this game is actually going to go under the total of 40.5 tonight. I really look at the New England Patriots defensively, and I don't let them see Brock Osweiler getting off on them. The one guy that I think is going to be consistent tonight is Lamar Miller. He'll touch the ball 25 to 32 times through the passing game and running the ball game. They will try to keep it close, and they'll try to get a turnover late in the game with that defense here. I think both teams play close to the vest, and I think that the Patriots end up pulling this game out in the end, but I like the under in this contest because I don't think Osweiler is going to do anything to this Patriots defense.
Now, going down the list, Osweiler, $6,000. Nah, why? You know, you're not taking him. 15 DK points per game. Jacoby Brissett, $5,000. You know, interesting, but obviously there's going to be better options this week. You mentioned Lamar Miller. He's getting a ton of touches, but, you know, I didn't buy into the Miller stuff. I was hesitant. You know, everyone always said, he didn't get the ball more than 15 times ever in Miami. Now he's going to get touches. He's going to be a star. He was a consensus top 10. Everyone loved Lamar Miller. He's only averaging 3.6 yards a carry. What do you make of that with Lamar? Like, I wouldn't spend $7,200 on him.
The thing is, with the 3.6 yards a carry, we just saw, about 10 running backs go down this week that'll be replaced, right? So the one thing he does is have volume. We know he's going to be on first down. He's going to be in there on third down. He's going to get the goal line carries. So everything's there. If you really like the Texans to take advantage of the Patriots and turn this field around today, Lamar Miller ends up being a good play for you. I'm not going to touch anyone in this game, and I think it's actually an advantage for you to get in contest tonight. Don't play any players. People feel like they have to jump in. There will be at least 3% of the teams out there that are going to have stacks in the Houston Patriots game because they always do, because they have to watch the game, they have to have the action, and you can take advantage of this tonight by getting in contest and not playing anyone.
What do you think will happen with the Monday quarterbacks? Because we got Drew Brees, we got Matt Ryan, and I was thinking the same thing, and the degenerate in me, Tony, said, you're going to be heavily owned, and it's Monday. You got to wait till Monday. You know it, man. Millions of Americans waking up Sunday morning, they don't want their quarterback to be Monday. They want it now, Tony. How many people do you think just sort of have a Breeze or a Ryan in their back pocket and play everybody else over the weekend?
You got to be the sites are starting to get money hungry, right? FanDuel and DraftKings. So what they're doing is they're ending a lot of the tournaments on Sunday nights so people can win money and then invest in the Monday, Thursday. So there's not a lot of tournament options, but that makes it even better for you. If you could find those one or two tournaments in there,
yep.
And I found them last week, I would absolutely play Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is my number three quarterback this week.
It looks like Cardano's frozen. Twix! I wanted his number two and number one quarterbacks. I was like, oh, yeah, really? Hey, number three. Who's the number two quarterback?
Oh, the number two quarterback is
Matt. We got you back. You froze. Yeah, you're frozen in time, Sin Cara.
You know, those things happen every once
That'd
in a while.
That'd be great, eh? Would you do that if they said, all right, Tony and Gabe, we're going to freeze you guys right now, but you're going to live forever. We're going to bring you back in 50 years. You and I can just come back, right? Talking about the Patriots game right out of the gate.
You know, us and Ted Williams, right? We could play catch with Ted Williams. He's a guy that's frozen with the Walt Disney.
Okay, said Matt Ryan. You said, we got 1 minute. You said Matt Ryan, number three. Who's number two and number one this week?
Number one is Aaron Rodgers, and number two in the same game, Matthew Stafford. If you go back to what Matthew Stafford has done, they lost the running game this week. He's going to throw the ball 40 times. Aaron Rodgers has gone 14 games, I believe, without getting 300 yards passing. If he doesn't do it against the Detroit Lions, there'll be emphasis by the coaching staff to get him out there. I like both quarterbacks in that one contest.
Wow. Wow. That's thinking outside the box right there with that one. I've seen Marcus Mariota's name come up again. The Raiders' defense been shredded 2 weeks. I don't trust Marcus in this spot enough.
With those two big running backs, he'll never throw the ball 40-plus times. You need in today's NFL to be there. I have him ranked at number 15.
All right, we got like 15 seconds. And, you know, I'm going to get mocked for this if I actually do it. I get killed anyways, Tony, no matter what I do. But I'm going to get mocked. But Ryan Tannehill against the Cleveland Browns. Nobody's going to own Tannehill. I think he puts up big numbers. They don't run the football.
They don't want the football. They have no run game. Do it! You got to want it, game. Be big, think big, outside the box.
You're damn right. They're leading rushers, Ryan Tannehill, with 52 yards.
Hey, Rome wasn't built in a day. Gabe Orange, he's taking it down.
Damn right. Ryan Tannehill. Hey, thanks, Tony.
Take care, my man.
There's Tony Sin Cara with us. We'll take a quick break. We come back with our plays of the day, and there's a lot of them. It's time for our plays of the day. It's football time. We got a doubleheader on tap. Let's dive right in. To start off, I'm not getting in the way of the New England Patriots, all right? Patriots are a dominant team. They're 14-2. Their last, like, 16 weekday games. Belichick doesn't lose at home. I don't care if the guy that was deflating Tom Brady's footballs is the damn quarterback tonight. Give me the New England Patriots plus one. Oh, we're going to tease this game to the over. Jacoby Brissett's going to surprise people, go over 212 yards. Jacoby Brissett, no interceptions, plus 145. I can't refuse that. Brock Osweiler's not throwing two touchdown passes. Give me that at plus 110. Danny Amendola, over 2.5 receptions. Texans Patriots, long field goal, over 44.5. Georgia Tech, plus 10. Clemson, Georgia Tech, goes over to 58. And an upset money line special. Although I think Clemson probably squeeze out a close one. They could get stung. Give us the Jackets, plus 310 on the money line. Other night, you're on your own, man. The winners be yours.